From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, where we read of Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, who gathered a coalition of four other Canaanite kings to make war on the Gibeonites because they had entered into a league with Israel. The focus of this message centers upon the names of the two principal characters. Joshua is the Hebrew rendering of Jesus. Adonizedek means literally king of righteousness. Jerusalem translates as vision of peace. This king's name would give the impression of great spirituality. Yet nothing could have been further from the truth, for he was a bitter enemy of God's people. In complete contrast, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true King of righteousness, the blessed Son of God who took upon himself flesh in order to redeem sinners through his sacrifice on the cross. In a message entitled, The False Lord of Righteousness and the True, Dr. Cairns is illustrating the battle of the Church of Jesus Christ with the forces of apostasy. Dr. Cairns will resume the message shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. The Lamb is the light thereof. Quietly contemplate the Lamb as the light of heaven. Light in Scripture is the emblem of joy. The joy of the saints in heaven is comprised in this: Jesus chose us, loved us, bought us, cleansed us, robed us, kept us, glorified us. We are here entirely through the Lord Jesus. Each one of these thoughts shall be to them like a cluster of the grapes of Eshcol. Light is also the cause of beauty. Naught of beauty is left when light is gone. Without light, no radiance flashes from the sapphire, no peaceful ray proceeds from the pearl. And thus all the beauty of the saints above comes from Jesus. As planets, they reflect the light of the Sun of Righteousness. They live as beams proceeding from the central orb. If he withdrew, they must die. If his glory were veiled, their glory must expire. Light is also the emblem of knowledge. In heaven our knowledge will be perfect, but the Lord Jesus himself will be the fountain of it. Dark providences never understood before will then be clearly seen, and all that puzzles us now will become plain to us in the light of the Lamb. Oh, what unfoldings there will be, and what glorifying of the God of love! Light also means manifestation. Light manifests. In this world it does not yet appear what we shall be. God's people are a hidden people. But when Christ receives his people into heaven, he will touch them with the wand of his own love, and change them into the image of his manifested glory. They were poor and wretched, but what a transformation! They were stained with sin, but one touch of his finger, and they are bright as the sun and clear as crystal. Oh, what a manifestation! All this proceeds from the exalted Lamb. Whatever there may be of effulgent splendor, Jesus shall be the center and soul of it all. Oh, to be present and to see him in his own light, the King of kings and Lord of lords!
Creatures of our God and King, we
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
The battle here recorded, I think, presents to us a very deep and spiritual message. And I want us to think of that message this morning. For the message is, I think, one that talks about Christ's conflict and Christ's conquest of Antichrist. Now let's start at the beginning. And note this, that Adonai Zedek is the perfect name for the King of Jerusalem. Adonai Zedek is the perfect name for the King of Jerusalem. Jerusalem. It's an interesting name. This is actually the first occurrence of the name Jerusalem in the Bible. Previously, the city had simply been called Salem. And as I'm sure you'll know, Salem simply means peace. To this day, when one Israeli meets another, he will say shalom. It's basically the very same word, and it is the greeting of peace. That was the name of the city. Jerusalem, however, means literally the vision of peace. To use the words of a great American commentator in this passage, it is a prophetic allusion to the gospel of peace. Now, how did Salem come to be Jerusalem? There may be some discussion about that, but I think the scripture supplies the answer. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, we read of how Abraham came into this very area, to Mount Moriah, and remember, that's where Jerusalem is built. He came to this very area at the command of God to offer up Isaac his son. You may recall that as he had Isaac bound and led upon the altar and was about to sacrifice him unto the Lord in the sure knowledge that God would raise him again from the dead, he believed that. As he was about to do so, the Lord stopped him, and he pointed him to a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And the Lord fulfilled Abraham's own word to Isaac a little while earlier, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. And so he did. And there, in a great act of substitution, God's lamb took the place of Isaac upon the altar and died in his place. Now, after that, we read that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh. Now, the interesting thing is that the Jireh, or the Yireh, is the same verb that is attached to the word Salem to give us the name Jerusalem. So that Jerusalem as a name holds a great prophecy in it. Jerusalem is more than a mere name. It is a message. It is a prophecy fulfilling Abraham's vision of peace that would come through the sacrifice of God's Lamb on Mount Moriah. All that is in the name Jerusalem. Now, the name Adonai Zedek, as I've indicated, means the Lord of Righteousness. I think that it's abundantly clear that this man was a successor of Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and the king of Salem. Probably Adonai Zedek was not a personal name. It's more likely to have been a hereditary name of the kings of Jerusalem, just as Pharaoh was a hereditary name of the kings of Egypt, and Abimelech was the hereditary name of the kings of Gerar. So I would take it Adonai Zedek was the name that belonged to the king of Jerusalem. Now let's stop for a moment and let's reflect on the aptness of these names. The Lord of Righteousness is the king over the city where peace is purchased by the sacrifice of God's appointed Lamb. I think there is a tremendously appropriate nature to the names that are here joined together. And I say that because this is essentially the very message of Hebrews chapter 7. Now, I know the name is slightly different. I'll come to that in a moment. But in the opening verses of Hebrews 7, we read that this Melchizedek, which means king of righteousness, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation King of Righteousness, that's Melchizedek, and after that also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Now, as far as the mere titles go, the statement holds equally good if you put in the name Adonizedek in the place of Melchizedek. You see, the true King of Peace is first the Lord of Righteousness. It's easy to say that, but there's much gospel in that statement. According to the apostle, and indeed according to the Old Testament prophets as well, both those titles belong properly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are the two fundamentals of the gospel of Christ. Here are the two fundamental aspects of the work of the Savior. He is first of all the Lord of righteousness. The first aspect of the work of Christ is the work of righteousness. The word is justice. It's the work of justice. That is satisfaction of God. And unless you see this, you will never really be right on the gospel of Christ. People make all sorts of mistakes in other areas of the gospel because they don't grasp this fundamental truth about Jesus Christ, that he is the righteous fulfiller of God's law and he is the satisfier of God's justice. The primary aspect of the work of the cross is Godward. Oh, it has an aspect toward man. But it only has that manward aspect because, first of all, it has done a work toward God. Paul makes this clear in writing to the Hebrews when he announces the fundamental work of the priest is toward God. It is a work of satisfaction. It is a work of a just Savior, personally righteous, doing a work to placate divine vengeance by fulfilling every part of the law and satisfying divine justice. The Apostle John spoke of this in 1 John 2 in the opening verses. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now notice the description. Our advocate is Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. The word propitiation, he is the righteous appeasement of the wrath of God. He is the righteous satisfaction of the justice of God. It's the meaning of propitiation. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We see clearly Christ the righteous is the propitiation. Paul spells out the very same truth in Romans 3, 25 and 26. He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That he might be righteous and yet declare sinners who believe in Jesus righteous. That's the great problem that faced God, if I could put it in that way, very reverently. Salvation was not an easy thing. In comparison to salvation, creation in all its intricacy was simplicity itself. God spoke and it was done. Now, I'm not for a moment undervaluing the tremendous wisdom of God in creation? Obviously not. The more you understand of the smallest part of God's creation, the more you stand in awe at the tremendous, the infinite wisdom of God manifested in it. But nonetheless, God spoke and it was done. But salvation could not be accomplished that way. The problem was, here are sinners, corrupt, vile, guilty, wretched, and fully deserving of the wrath of God. Here is God, inflexibly holy, unchangeably just. He cannot acquit the guilty. How then can a just God remain just and righteous and yet acquit guilty sinners? The wisdom of God never shone more brightly than in the answer of grace. Jesus Christ, the absolutely sinless and righteous one, came forth as the head of his believing people, joined in the covenant of redemption, so that the living head stood for the whole body. And Jesus Christ, the righteous, satisfied God when he said on Calvary, "It is finished." When he said, "It is enough, it's done, it's complete," thank God, he had made the way whereby God could remain righteous and yet declare those who were personally guilty legally righteous, because of the righteousness of Christ that satisfied God and was put to their account. It's the great genius of the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.